going on, everybody? It's Cam, and I have my buddy back again. It's JB. JB, say hi to everybody.
What's going on?
We're back. This is episode number 2 of the unnamed college football episode. The unnamed college football show. This is episode number 2.
Undecided.
We'll edit that in post. We still need to figure out what the name is going to be, man. I don't know. It's got to be something. I think it should be the name of like a play that would be called. Just something that's so complex and means absolutely nothing to anybody, but it'd be fun to write down. We'll work on it. I'm going to find my
buddy. We'll work on it.
I have a buddy that's an offensive coordinator. I'm going to ask him for just like one of the old plays he used to call. And then that's going to be the name of our.
One of my favorite plays from high school is called Purdue Pass.
Purdue Pass?
Purdue Pass. 22, fake 22 Purdue Pass.
That's not bad. But then a lot of people would be like, oh my God, there's a podcast about Purdue football. And
no, the answer is I don't even like them.
I don't know if you could field enough people to listen to a podcast about Purdue football right now.
No, not even.
Does Purdue still have a football team? I think is the first question on that podcast.
I think they left with Drew. Ooh.
Probably. Anyway, it's enough talk about Purdue.
All right.
We're going to go over last week, and then we're going to preview coming into this weekend. So this weekend, JB, you mentioned it before we hit play. We've got 3 games that are postponed this weekend just because of COVID outbreaks and stuff. 2 of them are unfortunate. 1 of them is absolutely incredible if you are a Georgia and Tennessee fan, which we are. And we're absolutely going to address that because the man behind the microphone said some really stupid things, and they deserve to get touched on. But first, we're going to go over last week and what happened. JB, what is topic number 1?
Now, we both
strapping it,
sung the praises of Texas and how this could possibly be their year. This could possibly be the chance. And what did they do? They not lay not 1 egg, but 2 eggs consecutive weeks in a row. Like, not even 24 hours after we sung their praises, they do the unthinkable against what, Kansas State?
TCU.
And then Oklahoma. Back to back.
First of all, if I may.
Okay.
You may. This is necessary right now for my anger and my frustration level at the University of Texas. You laid 2 eggs in the Oklahoma game. JB, they didn't score in the first or the third quarter of that Oklahoma game. Ended up losing in overtime. Missed kicks. Ellinger throws for almost 302 touchdowns. But Ellinger and Herman just, they're not back. You can't say you're back and then go 7-5 and then turn back around and start 2-2. Or be 2-2, now 2-3. They were ranked going into this game. Oklahoma, as you said, had just lost to Kansas State. It was on the platter. If Texas football is going to be back, it was going to happen at the Red River Rivalry. They were going to show their dominance, and they were going to make that leap, JB. And we bought into that leap, and they screwed us over, and I won't forget them.
I'm done.
I'm out.
I'm done. Like, This is Falcons level of disappointment that I'm experiencing with them.
Whoa.
Like, I am done. I went out on a limb for them on this show, this untitled show. I went out and said, hey, I'm planting my flag here. Go Texas. This is going to be it. They have a shot to run the table, and they literally – I'm not sure if I can cuss, but I'm going to go ahead and say it anyway. They shit the bed and literally just 2 weeks in a row. You have all the pieces. You got the coach. You got the players. You've got the quarterback. You've got everything in place. You got a down year due to COVID. You have everything possibly in place. You only have to win the damn championship. Just run the table and make the playoffs because you can. And what? What? Like, disappointed is not even the word for it. Like, how can I, well, I'm not even sure if there's something in this world outside of this as an example for this. This is how egregiously bad this was. I am so disappointed in them.
Disappointed is the right word. Sam Ehlinger goes for 287 yards and 2 touchdowns in the air and 112 yards and 4 touchdowns on the ground. This man accumulated by himself almost 400 yards of total offense and 6 touchdowns, and they could not finish. He scored or was a part of by throwing every single touchdown for Texas that game.
Shame
indeed.
Shame.
Texas, shame.
Walk of shame.
For shame. All of the shame. Shame upon you and your cattle.
Shame on you. Shame on your house. Shame on your cow.
Yeah. Yes, exactly. Some Mushu stuff right here. Absolutely. That felt good. That rant felt good. I feel better now.
I don't.
Well, I mean, like, I'm still mad that we did it, but I'm happy that we got it off our chest.
Now, me being a Georgia fan and my family being from Texas, I always have a soft spot for Texas sports.
Fair.
Like, fair. Even if it's, like, unintentional. So Texas has always been kind of like a team that I've always watched and, like, with love and adoration that I don't give many other teams in all the sports. So them performing like this with the level of talent they have is just extremely disappointing to me. And it's heartbreaking to see. But not as bad as what Georgia did to Tennessee last weekend.
Okay. First of all, how dare you? Second of all, props to Oklahoma for coming back in 4 overtimes and finding a way to win when Spencer Rattler threw for 200 yards. In a 4-quarter and 4 overtime game, he threw for 200 yards. He was not feeling it. Props to Oklahoma for getting the job done. That's a huge bounce back win for them. Gives them a lot of confidence. Absolutely. They're probably actually going to win the conference because they can do something called winning.
They should. And they should at this point.
They should.
I mean, Oklahoma's Oklahoma. But yeah. Spencer Rattler's for real.
I love Rattler. I don't understand how people can't love him. They're like, he hasn't won anything. I'm like, he's a freshman. This is his 4th game of his entire career. What do you mean he hasn't won anything?
Exactly.
He's barely played.
And look at the numbers he's put up. He's got, what, close to 1,000 yards passing?
He's over now, I think, at this point. Yeah.
It should be over by now.
Yeah. No, he's got some good numbers. I mean, Texas gave him, you know, but again, it's the Red River rivalry, and you're starting a freshman quarterback. Like, I don't expect you to be spotless in a game like that. You take your lumps early, and then you learn from them. It's simple math. I don't understand people sometimes. All right, let's get into this game. You brought it up. I didn't want you to, but you did.
Yeah, so I have to. Go Dawgs.
You know what? I was actually – I'm more mad in this game than I probably have been for Tennessee playing a top-level team because I actually – and I told you this. This is – going into this game, this is the most confidence I've had in a staff going into a big game than I've had in a long time as a Tennessee fan, right? Like, zero confidence in staffs going up against other staffs. So I was actually really excited about this game. We were up 21-17 at half. A couple of things had gone our way. We took some good shots down the field. We found our wide receiver one-on-one against your corner and just, you know, good ball, good placement.
And your line was getting the push up the middle. We couldn't really run the ball.
Yep. And I think, I mean, the first touchdown that we had that was like back shoulder – back of the end zone, like, your corner did everything he could do. Like, he's not going to get yelled at for that. He literally did everything. It was just a dime pass. That's all it was. You can't get mad at that. And then the second half happened. The second half happened, and you guys go on a 27-0 run to end the game after the second half. I don't think we had 100 yards of total offense in the second half. If we did, it was very close to that number. Stetson Bennett struggled in the first half. I mean, it was a tough first drive. Literally the first snap went over his head into the end zone. So not a great start. Thought he bounced back well. I really like this kid. You know,
like I want him. I want to be more.
Yeah. I agree. Like, I want to be biased and be like, oh, I hate everything. I'm just not that kind of person. I don't have it in me. Like, I really like Stetson Bennett as a player. I think he is a lot like Rattler. They're young and they're just figuring their way out right now, but they're very talented. What did you see from, as the Georgia fan? So that's the Tennessee fan. Loved the first half. Didn't so much like the second half. Your take as a Georgia fan watching that game.
Bennett went 16 of 27 for 238 yards, two touchdowns, and that's even with that bad first half that he had. Mm-hmm. He showed confidence. He showed poise. He showed moxie, being able to move around and be able to make plays with his feet. The running game was really non-existent. Zahir White went 22-50, one touchdown. That's a pretty bad average. Kyaris Jackson, though, was the standout for real, receiving-wise. He had four receptions, 91 yards, and one touchdown. He showed up as opposed to George Pickens, who made one bonehead mistake on the sideline when he squirted, I believe it was Guantanamo?
Yeah. Yeah.
Close enough. With the water bottle?
Yeah.
That was so stupid.
That was so dumb. That was so stupid.
That's the most impact he had on the game.
We scored three plays later on that drive.
That was third down.
It was. That was third down. We got a free 15, and we scored on that drive. That was Josh Palmer's second touchdown.
Now, defensively, everything we're supposed to do. We made the adjustments in the second half. Yep. You guys were the only team in the country without a turnover going into the game.
Yep.
And we got two on two consecutive drives.
Yep.
There's really not a lot to complain about in that performance in the second half. The defense showed up. They showed out. And it's a good thing that they did, because we got to keep that momentum rolling, because we got a big one this week.
Yeah. No, I love your staff. I love what Kirby's doing with them. I think Kirby's one of those guys that's still sitting on the doorstep waiting to win the big one, but he's always there. So eventually that door is just going to get knocked down. I don't think he is – going to be that guy that's just always going to be the bridesmaid. I think he's going to be a bride very soon. He does too many things too well consistently to not be that way.
There's one thing in his way, and that's Nick Saban.
Absolutely. That's
the only thing
consistently
in his way.
Yeah, and by the way, Nick Saban, who has never lost to a former assistant of his, by the way, Kirby Smart, former assistant of Nick Saban's. So we'll see how long those things last. I'm more mad as a Tennessee fan at Jared Garantano. He's a four-year player, basically. He's been a starter for the last two and a half. Like, he goes 23 of 36 for 215 and two. He makes a really stupid play in the second half. He made a couple of bonehead plays. Only one of them turned out to be an interception, thankfully, or you guys could have hung 60 on us. I'm mad that he doesn't show up, because 3 weeks ago he talked about how he still needs to get better at certain things. And as a fifth-year player, senior, starter, I don't really need to hear. I get that, like, every day come to practice to get better. Like, that's a different talk than, like, well, we really struggled on some things that we need to get better. Like, you can't say that as a fifth-year player anymore. Mm-hmm. I don't need to hear, oh, there are some things I need to do better mechanically. That's the worst thing you could ever hear from a fifth-year player. And so I'm angry at him for – and I'm angry at our offensive staff for what they couldn't do in the second half. And you and I were texting back and forth on this. I got a little quiet during the second half. You were a little quiet during the first half. So it evened out.
But I was on the move as the game started. I was watching it on my phone as much as I could.
That's fair. I texted you this. I'm actually not mad at our defense. I think our defense played really well. But Absolutely. Over time, when your offense goes three and out, pick, three and out, fumble, three and out, fumble, three and out, your defense is just going to get tired, man. And they're just going to make lapses in judgment because they're so sick and tired of being out there on the field because our offense can't stay out there. So I love the way our defense played, actually. I'm not mad at them at all. This is all hung on the offensive side of the ball.
Absolutely. Those two turnovers, we scored off both turnovers. And at that point, the momentum shifted.
It was different. You could just feel it. The first interception, you were like, dang, all right, we'll hold him to a field goal, okay. And then the second one, it just felt different. And you were like, oh, man, I've sang this song as a Tennessee fan, and it's just not going to be fun. And turns out it was the same song, and it was not fun. But Jeremy Pruitt afterwards said, I am their head coach. It's my fault. if we lose, you get to hang the loss on me, which segue, some other coach didn't really say, moving on to the Florida-Texas A&M game. Florida goes into A&M with a packed house of 37,000 people in a stadium that holds 89. A&M wins. Kellen Mond goes nuts, throws 340 and three touchdowns. Kyle Trask throws 320 and three touchdowns. Like, this was a show from both quarterbacks in this game. And it was really exciting to watch, really, as just somebody that enjoys, you know, offensive football. And I enjoy watching Florida lose. So this is really just like a win all the way around.
There's very few things more exciting in college football than watching Florida lose.
Factual, especially on the road. Oh,
oh yeah.
So Dan Mullen, for those who don't know, and if you don't know, we're catching you up. Afterwards, said, this is recorded, this is on record. He said that the noise of the crowd was a defining factor for our loss today. Mm-hmm. Then he said, well, the governor has reopened Florida, so I am urging, demanding UF to reopen the swamp to 90,000 fans for when we host LSU this coming weekend. He was speaking on Saturday, but saying it, you know, next week, this coming weekend. He utters those words, which are magic to any Florida haters fans. I mean, that's just, God, that was magic to my ears.
That's stupid.
I shed a happy tear when he said that. I really did. And then Wednesday,
it's just one of those things that's just so obviously wrong and
so bad. And then Wednesday, it comes out that UF has halted all football workouts and such moving forward because of an outbreak of positive coronavirus tests. Could not have gone worse for Dan Mullen this week. Not only did he do that, but before Wednesday, when they shut everything down, he doubled down on Monday after practice when they interviewed him, when he did his post-practice stuff. He doubled down on what he said about the crowd noise and about the 90,000 fans. And then 48 hours later, they get busted for positive tests and they have to shut everything down. Now, having said that, hope all the kids are safe. Hope nobody gets too terribly ill.
Absolutely.
That's not what that is about. It's just about me being really excited that Dan Mullen said something stupid while wearing a Florida Gators t-shirt. That's really all it is. Your thoughts.
As a Georgia fan, you love to see it.
Yep.
You absolutely just love to see it. Just keep tripping and keep making those mistakes because we see them in a couple weeks and them playing the way that they played.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. I am so ready to get at them.
Yeah. I mean, especially, if that's – yeah. Go ahead. Yeah.
Because I like Kellen Mond. I really do. I really like Isaiah Spiller, too. Mm. Like, I think those two would definitely have the NFL in their future, especially Kellen Mond. Probably a first-round pick this coming year. This is dessert. On top of everything else that happened with us destroying Tennessee, you get the Florida meltdown. And you just more. Give me more of this. Keep tripping, Florida. Keep it up for like the next month. I will be a happy camper.
Oh, it was. And I mean, you talked about Isaiah Spiller. Isaiah Spiller on that Florida that vaunted Florida defense that apparently can't handle 37,000 fans yelling at them. Isaiah Spiller ran for 175 yards on the ground and two touchdowns against them. And that is setting up for them to walk into Georgia, who historically speaking churns out running backs that go to the NFL like it's a friggin' factory line.
We got like three guys now.
Yeah, I know. Your first, second, and third string running backs are all going to go to the NFL anyways. It's like Clemson wide receivers at this point. It's nuts. But yeah, so Florida goes down. That's a big win.
That's huge.
That's a big win for A&M and for what they're trying to do, especially coming off that Alabama loss. Mm-hmm. It's a huge comeback for them. So big win, big ups on them for being able to do that. Florida falls to 2-1. A&M goes to 2-1. Georgia sits at 3-0. Alabama and Ole Miss apparently met on a basketball court for their game. that game ended up being 63-48.
Yeah. And can I draw special attention to USC and Virginia Tech?
Please.
UNC and Virginia Tech.
Please.
That game was stupid. Dude. Final score 56-45 UNC. Mac Brown is making it work on Chapel Hill. Who would have thought?
Yeah.
Like Sam Howell with 18 of 23, 257 and three scores. Yeah, he's a guy that people don't really talk about, but maybe we should probably start paying attention to him and maybe start paying attention a little bit closer to what UNC is doing.
It's so weird. They're the most non-talked about top 10 team going into last weekend. Their running back runs for 200 yards.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. What's the kid's name?
Michael Carter.
Michael Carter.
Yeah, goes for 214 and 2 on 17 carries. He didn't run for 214 yards on 35. He did it on half that, which is nuts to think about in itself. UNC goes into halftime up 35-14, and then somehow there's like a game down to the wire all of a sudden, so that was weird. UNC is ranked 5th coming into this weekend.
Yep.
That Tar Heels team is a top 5 football program right now. How nuts is that to hear?
You would think if you hear USC at 5, it's basketball, but they are doing it.
It's insane. It's insane what Mac Brown's been able to do. When he went there, everybody was like, oh, man, it's just, you know, a guy with a good pedigree finding somewhere to hang out for a few years before he has to retire again, you know, or a program trying to hang on to something. Like, they'll sell some extra tickets because it's Mac Brown, but then in 18 or 26 months, he'll be out. And now all of a sudden, freaking, you know, sitting at number 5 in the country going into, you know, oh my gosh, what he's doing is incredible. Absolutely.
Absolutely incredible.
I think the only other one really that we need to talk about, I think, you know, Notre Dame had a bye week with Florida State. Florida State played well for about 7 minutes and then that was it. Clemson shows Miami the level of the gap that there is in the ACC right now between those two. But again, that Clemson offense is so just freaking loaded, man.
It's so loaded. And that Miami team is just so woefully underprepared.
Yeah. And they should be, though. You know, like they should be really good. Miami might be their only loss this year. They might be an 8-2, 9-1 type of team. Wouldn't be shocked if they were. They're very good. But they're not Clemson. And nobody in the ACC or really in the country, aside from like two other schools, is Clemson right now. I mean, they're just rolling, dude. Etienne goes for 150 on the ground. Lawrence goes for 300 in the air. Like, it's just that's a day in the office for them. And Miami is just underprepared. And it's, you know.
They're really just prepared for April at this point, those two.
Dude, it's insane what Trevor Lawrence, oh, my God.
Sunshine.
But, yeah, it's amazing. I mean, Trevor Lawrence is all but sewn up, basically, him going number one in the draft.
Absolutely.
And we're 4 weeks into the year.
He would have been number one last year.
He would have been. It would have been interesting if he went out with Burrows based on what happened at the end of last year. It would have been very interesting who would have gone first.
So I think it's Trevor.
You still think Trevor goes?
I still think it's Trevor because he's got the skill set. He's bigger. Yeah. He's got the bigger arm. He's more mobile, definitely, than Joe is. Yeah. Like, tool-wise, skill set-wise, it's not even close. Yeah, Joe plays winner.
Yeah.
But Trevor plays winner and he plays quarterback.
Yeah, you know what? I don't know if I can be mad at that. What I will say I'm sad for, and it is an SEC team. I don't normally say I'm sad for an SEC team. Sad for Arkansas, man. They really got hosed at the end of that game. Did you see it?
Yeah.
The muff fumble, and then he turns to spike it, which is a backwards lateral, but they don't call it. Arkansas recovers, but it negates it. And then Auburn kicks a game-winning field goal with no time.
Like,
tough, dude. Tough.
That's tough.
That was in Auburn, too. Could you imagine Arkansas coming out of that game 2-1 with a win at Auburn as Arkansas? Oh, that's a tough one. Felipe Franks is playing really well for them. I think his stock may quietly move him into the third round or second. I don't know how to list players like that.
It could.
But I think his stock is quietly going to make him, you know, move up a little bit.
It definitely is. He He's putting together a fine season so far. Mm-hmm. And he's one of those cats that nobody's talking about. Of course, you know, Arkansas and Arkansas football as of late. But he's putting together a good season.
He is.
And it wasn't his fault. He played good enough to win. Mm-hmm. What, 22, 30, 318, four touchdowns? That's good enough to win any Sunday mm-hmm. or Saturday.
Agreed. Absolutely. Absolutely. Tough one. Hope Arkansas can bounce back. I'm actually kind of rooting for them to become more competitive. I don't like want them to win or anything, but yeah. I'd like them to be more competitive. All right. So we're going to move on into this weekend. Coastal Carolina just beat Louisiana this evening. Louisiana, a ranked team going down at home to Coastal Carolina. Mm. So shout out to Coastal Carolina, whatever the heck your nickname is.
Those are the Panthers.
Are they?
I think so.
I'll take your word for it, man. If you say it with enough conviction, I'll buy it. So we have a couple of Friday night games as far as ranked team goes. SMU hosts Tulane, BYU hosts Houston. Not really worried about that. Clemson gets an early draw against Georgia Tech in Atlanta. Clemson favored by 27.
That's it?
I know. Lay the points, man. I don't know. This one's interesting. Miami coming off the Clemson loss at home, hosting a 3-2 Pittsburgh team who's been playing better than people are giving them credit for right now.
Yeah.
Like, strange.
I think I want to give the edge to Miami there.
I think so, too. I think going Miami is the right play, especially them going back home. They are a 13.5-point favorite. Miami hasn't exactly been known to cover double-digit point spreads, though. Yeah. So that'll be pretty interesting. But that Pitt team, weirdly, could be hanging around like midway through the third and make it interesting.
And they probably will.
Yeah, but that'll be on Derek King. I'm not like hanging the whole season on him. But this will show a lot about Derek King as a quarterback and a leader. Bouncing mm-hmm. back from a Clemson loss to go back home, host another, you know, solid team that's playing well. And be able to just, you know, lay your foot on their throat and be like, hey, we're not going to lose to Clemson last week and then lose to Clemson this week because we're still worried about it. You know, we're going to move forward. So it'd be nice to see Derek King be able to do that and come out and have a good game.
He's an interesting draft prospect.
He really is. He really is.
He's not a first rounder.
No.
But he's not a late round pick either.
No.
And he's got all the athleticism in the world in the arm, but he doesn't have the size.
Yeah.
But we're in an age where that doesn't matter, but it still kind of matters.
Yeah.
Yes. I don't know. He's such an interesting prospect. Then again, he's a Miami quarterback. And those never turn out well. But he wasn't originally a Miami quarterback. So it's just a whole lot there with him.
Yeah. It'll be very interesting how many teams at the next level would want to convert him. And I doubt he wants to convert.
No, I think if he wants to play quarterback, he should play quarterback.
Absolutely. It'd just be interesting to be like, hey, if you're a wide receiver, you're in the second or third round. But if you're a quarterback, you're in the fifth round. Does that make a difference? It probably doesn't. He's probably locked into playing quarterback at the next level, which I'm all for. You know,
put
all your chips in the same basket. I'm good with that. Yeah. But it'd be interesting to be like, if there's a big gap between, hey, if you come in at this position or at this position, I don't know. Auburn goes to South Carolina at noon. This is such an Auburn loss game. Man, this has Auburn loss written all over it.
Especially if we're talking about at South Carolina.
Yeah, who isn't very good, but it's noon and it's South Carolina. Nobody wants to be there.
Nobody wants to go there. That is like the most place in the SEC.
Yeah. It's like this is like having a noon game against Boston College. It's just one, you know what I mean? It's one of those where it's like, oh, they play Boston College, we'll win. Oh, noon? Interesting. Because nobody wants to be there. And my God, South Carolina's bad, but Bo Nix has been playing so terrible. And not only him, but that whole offense has just been dreadful, really, to watch for the last couple of weeks.
Yeah.
Auburn might be on upset alert there. And they're only 3.5-point favorites.
Yeesh.
Which says a lot.
It does says a lot. Oh, man. That's a trap.
Trap game. All day.
All day long.
Yep. Tennessee bouncing back from Georgia. We host Kentucky.
That's an easy. That should be easy.
God, I hope so.
It should be.
We play Kentucky and South Carolina close every time, and I just don't want to anymore. I just want to beat them by 30 and leave. That's all I want. I think so. I think we'll take care of them. They're not the, like, trap game Kentucky team that they have been in years past. Mm-hmm. I just don't think they have the horses for it anymore to be that kind of team. I don't know. We're going to talk about Georgia, but we're going to talk about that last because it's the game of the week, so we're going to leave it for last. So I didn't skip over, I promise. I'm not that petty.
I understand.
A&M goes to Mississippi State, so A&M coming off a big win. Mississippi State coming off a rough loss. My God, this Mississippi State team beat LSU, which suddenly doesn't look like a great win anymore.
No.
They score like 38 points and then 20 points and then like negative 7 last week. I don't even know what they did. It's so strange what is happening with that offense.
It just seems like everything left with Joe.
Yeah, for LSU, yeah. But I mean for Mississippi State. Like, how is Mississippi State just not scoring at all anymore?
Oh, that
they scored the first game.
I don't know. Because they have everything there. And unlike Kentucky, they do have the horses. Clearly they do.
Yeah.
But something is just out of sync with them.
Costello's thrown 9 interceptions. So that's not helpful. I'll tell you this, though. KJ Costello has 1,200 yards passing. Half of that came against LSU. So in 2 games, he's thrown for a combined 600 yards, which is actually a really good thing. That's like a good stat, what normal people do.
Okay.
But, man, this – I mean, what a way to get back on track if you're Mississippi State. You're hosting A&M. They're 11th. They're coming off of a big win at home against Florida. I mean, what a way to play spoiler right here.
And I'm for them to – I don't think they pull it off, though.
I don't either. I think with the way Mond is playing, I think he's going to eat that Mississippi State defense up.
Yeah.
But I think Costello's going to throw on A&M. I just think that he may throw well on A&M. They just won't score. Like, this may be one of those where he throws for 315 and, like, 1. Or 315 and 2 late. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So. This could be a future NFL matchup.
Yeah. Absolutely.
But Costello needs – to turn it around, if that's to be a reality.
Yeah, he's on an interception spree lately, and it's just not looking good. UNC gets a bye week. They play Florida State in Tallahassee. So that's a win.
Interesting fact. Yeah. Interesting fact. Mack Brown has never been his alma mater.
Really?
Never. I think he's like 0-6 against Florida State.
Interesting.
And he's got a chance to flip that around this week.
Here you go. All right. I'm going to give you 2 stats. You tell me which one's more incredible to think about.
Okay.
UNC is 3-0 right now, ranked number 5 in the country, or
Jesus.
UNC is going on the road as a 14-point favorite.
Against who?
Florida State.
Against Florida State. That's right. We're talking about it. Jesus.
They're a 14-point favorite on the road, or they're 3-0 and ranked number 5 in the country. Which one's more weird for you to hear?
I want to say the number 5. I want to say the ranking is the weirdest. It's really – we're at some bizarre world-type stuff with this.
It's insane. Could you imagine if UNC is one of the 4 teams in the playoffs at the end of this year?
Oh, my God.
I mean, they won't be because they'll meet Clemson and they'll lose. And
Clemson will trounce them.
Probably, yeah. But could you imagine? Could you imagine if UNC beats Clemson in the ACC title game and goes to the playoffs? Like, what world are we living in? I'm so excited. I want that to happen.
That's 2020, man.
That is 2020 for sure. Virginia Tech, 2-1, hosting Boston College, who's 3-1. Not a bad matchup.
That's not a bad matchup.
And then we got 3 games postponed. Oklahoma State, Baylor postponed. Cincinnati, Tulsa postponed. And then LSU, Florida postponed because Mullen's a moron. I added that last part in there. That is not the – wait, how do you say it? The views do not reflect the views of the entire Shooting the Sports-ish company, only the views of the one who said it, which is me. I think that's it, right?
And me.
Yeah, all right. Okay, so only the view of this particular show, not the view of the network as a whole. I think we got that. I think we nailed it. Game of the week. It's not even close what the game of the week is this weekend. Like last weekend, there were like 3 games. You're like, oh man, this could all be game of the week. It's not even close this weekend. Number three, Georgia. I'm giving you the floor. I'm just setting it up. Number three, Georgia. 3-0. Walking into Bryant-Denny Stadium against number two, Alabama. Also 3-0. Bama, 4.5-point favorite. JB, the floor is yours. What are we looking at?
What we're looking at here is obviously a battle of two top three teams. Probably a preview of the SEC championship, I would probably bet. And we're looking at a game where, uniquely, check me out, Nick Saban won't be on the sideline. Steve Sarkisian will be calling the plays. Now, Nick Saban has never lost to any of his assistants. So maybe, maybe.
I love it. I love this.
I don't know. And also, Najee Harris for Alabama has been going crazy. He has 10 rushing touchdowns on the season. Georgia, the only team in the nation that has not given up a rushing touchdown.
That front seven for you guys is so good.
And it's this is what you take from earlier with the Tennessee and the LSU and the Florida mishaps, and just you just eat it up. I already ate dinner tonight, but I could eat this all day, because this is just so tantalizingly delicious with what's going on here. This is not just the game of the week. This could possibly be the best game prior to bowl season or championship weekend. This is going to be a heavyweight fight, because even though I'm a Georgia fan, that Alabama team, Saban, no Saban, is still absolutely stacked from top to bottom. There's no real way around that. They're 3-4 deep at each position. Like, each one of those guys are going to be first, second day draft picks, and there's no question about that. But I think that without Nick Saban, we could possibly outcoach them. We could possibly outmaneuver them. They have been proven so far this season that defense is vulnerable.
Yeah.
That defense can be exposed. Now, I don't think that Bennett can dot them up so easily, but I think he could do enough. And if we can get Zamir White going, and we can get Jackson and Pickens, and Lord, if we can get Pickens' head on straight, and get that defense rolling, I think we can do it.
So two questions here. I'm turning into interviewer. I'm making you the coach of the Georgia team. How much of a benefit is it for you to walk in to Bryant-Denny with a freshman quarterback and not a full stadium at night? And two, how terrified are you of Jalen Waddle? Answers. We'll start with one and we'll work to the second one, because the first one's kind of more fun.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's a monstrous benefit not having a full stadium.
Yeah.
Like, because anytime you talk about going to Tuscaloosa, it's – do they ever lose there?
I don't think so, man. I think the last time they lost there, we were probably like 12.
Like, do they ever – man, that's a tough place to go. That's a tough place to play. I don't care if it's summer, spring, summer, once winter. I don't care. That's a tough place to go to. Mm-hmm. But Jalen Waddle is he's terrifying.
He's so scary, dude. And he's so scary. Him and Najee Harris are so terrifying.
Just at a moment's notice,
yeah.
Just gone.
Mm-hmm.
Just. Twitch, you talk about like Twitch quickness.
Yeah.
Whew.
Yeah. He's going to follow Jerry Jeudy right into the first round of the NFL draft.
Absolutely. Him and Ja'Marr Chase, lock, first round, done.
Yeah. And it'll be fun to see who the first wide receiver is taken.
I think it's Chase.
I think so too, but like he's coming up and then Waddle, and then you're going to have these other dudes that we haven't even talked about yet that are going to emerge by the end of the year.
Absolutely.
You know, 17 people from Clemson are going to be in the running for it. but it's just going to be really interesting. And, you know, Waddle and Chase are going to be those two dudes that are just going to be there.
Yeah.
Come draft night, you're going to look at your card and you're going to go, oh, my God, Jalen Waddle's available? Yeah, we should probably do that. So what are your, I need a prediction, man. I need something that the people can watch and review and see how close you were.
I think Georgia edges out.
He's calling it.
I am swinging yes. for the fences. God. Georgia. Hold on. I think I see a score. 25-28.
I love that score. So we're going under. So we're taking the under on it, obviously, because mm-hmm. I don't know, maybe. 28-25, Georgia, folks. You heard it here.
It just sounds
25.
I don't know how we get to 25. I probably should have said 24. I don't care.
Ah, you're fine.
I'm rolling with it. I'm rolling with it.
Sure. Exactly.
I'm rolling with it.
I love that, man. I absolutely love that. I think that game is going to be so much fun to watch. I will be glued to my television for that game.
Yeah. This will be a rematch. This will have a rematch. SEC championship game.
This could be the first out of three times you guys play each other this year, to be quite honest.
Sure the hell not.
I'm just saying. You could.
I hope not. I'm so sick of them.
There's a world where you play here, you play in the SEC title game, and then you play in the playoffs. There's a world where that can exist.
That's a tough. God, I hate them so much.
Because if Alabama, say you win by three, and then Alabama beats you in the SEC title game by four, you both have one loss. You'll find a way to both get in there, and then you'll play against each other again. Like, there's a legitimate world where you guys play each other three times this year.
Now, I got to get your take now.
Oh, okay.
What do you think?
I think that the two biggest benefits you're going to have, I'm just reiterating, are not a full stadium and mm-hmm. Steve's and Sark as the play caller and not Saban. I think not having Saban there is going to be very interesting for the dynamic of Alabama for an entire football game. They've had a week to practice where there's no Saban and it's just Sark. So that helps. It's not like he got it Friday night and then there's scramble mode Saturday morning. So that kind of helps Alabama.
Yeah, but that's an energy difference.
It is, but it is. It really is.
That's a huge energy difference.
It really is. And there's a – I don't care what anybody says. And listen, there's no Alabama player that is ever going to admit to this while they're at Alabama, and I get that. There is a drop in confidence as well that has to be respected and expected. You have to just think that Jalen Waddle, when he walks into a huddle with – Saban is way more composed and excited and confident than if you walk into a huddle with Steve Sarkisian. It's just how it is, man. There's no other way around it. I think, man, you're talking me into you guys pulling off the upset.
Come on.
You're really doing it.
Come on.
You know what?
Come on.
Let's do it. Let's go.
Yes! That's what I'm talking about.
I'm going to go 37-32. Ooh. Because here's the thing. Now, lest we forget, two very good teams. Mm-hmm. But these defenses are going to take a beating from these offenses.
Absolutely.
Both front line, you guys both have players on the corners, on the outside. You have two solid running backs that are going to be going head-to-head. Two awesome teams. But there are going to be some points put up in this game because there's some fire offenses that are going to be happening here. I think Stetson makes just enough plays. I think they put him in the right scenarios. You're talking me into it. I'm doing it. Here it is.
Just get on the train.
Here it is.
Ladies and gentlemen, I love my co-host because this guy gets it.
Listen, you know what? I'm in for a good upset, and it's high time that Alabama lost a game in the regular season.
It's high time, and if this ever going to happen.
And Kirby needs this, too. For the legacy of him as the head coach of Georgia,
absolutely,
he needs this win. Over Alabama, absolutely. In Alabama.
0-2 against Alabama as head coach on two very important occasions.
Yeah.
You got to have it.
He needs one. He's got to get over the hump. Why not get over the hump this Saturday?
So you got to get some of this, man. I've been eating it up all show. You got to get some. Come on. Get some.
I took my plate at the end. I'll take it to go. Wrap it up. I'll take it to go. We covered everything, man. That was the game of the night. We were able to go through some really cool stuff. So we're really excited. We're going to be every week now. We're going to be through the season. We're going to be in through the playoffs. And then we're definitely going to come back and do some draft stuff, some draft analysis. We may even have a live watch draft night and see who goes where.
Well, that'd be fun.
Who knows? We're going to have a lot of fun with it. Who knows if any of that, you know, if that'll actually happen, but we'll definitely talk about it like it will.
We're putting it out in the universe.
Yeah, putting it out in the universe, man. We'll see what happens with it. So we're really excited. Appreciate you guys tuning in. Follow us, like and subscribe on YouTube, and then follow us on Shoot Sports Ish on Twitter, and also the same handle on Instagram. JB, where can they find you, sir?
You can find me on Instagram, Facebook, and Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube at JB versus the world. And it's all spelled out, JB versus the world. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure if it's going to be down in the thingamabob down below.
Yeah, we'll put it down.
It should be.
Should be.
And you can find me on Twitter at JBV the world, because versus was just too long for Twitter.
There it is. You can find me on Twitter, Cam_Manning90. Not nearly as cool as JB versus the world, but in his defense, I'm not nearly as cool as he is. So there you go. Kind of makes sense. So we're gonna be live tweeting on Saturday. Who knows what we're gonna be doing? It's gonna be a lot of fun. I'm either going to be watching the game closely with JB or giving him his space, depending on how the first like quarter and a half works out from 8 p.m. on Saturday. I know when to pull my distance. I know when to.
I may or may not be having a heart attack.
That's true. Well, we're gonna check in on him. We're gonna make sure he's safe. But other than that, we're good here, and we're gonna see you guys next week.
All right, you guys take care of yourselves and each other. Peace out.